welcome to the podcast, Grace. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
I'm very excited. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited to talk to your audience and have them learn more about Orful and our company, and just happy to have a good conversation with a friend.
Absolutely. And in specific, I really want to dive into not necessarily Orful, but definitely what Orful does, and that is EDI. So maybe let's just back up a little bit. EDI is an archaic term for those of us who have been using it for a lot of years. But what is EDI? Let's start there very, very briefly, just to kind of bring everybody up to speed. And then we'll dive into some of the whys, hows, whats, and whens after that. So
definitely.
What is EDI?
Yeah. So, well, you hit the nail on the head in regards to archaic, and that's where we have a lot of fun here. So it comes out of the 60s, 70s. It was there to really replace almost like manual entry and standardization between digital document exchange, right? And to really explain it to someone as if, you know, you're, let's say, like a 10-year-old, someone like myself, who's not the most technical person out there. It's a way that we use technology to translate documents, order entry, etc., between organizations. Honestly, the best way to kind of look at it is like, you know, writing notes between two different people, compared to maybe something like API you might have heard too, which is almost more of like walkie-talkies, right? So it's a way of taking letters and words, putting it into a system electronically, and sending that information to, and for your audience, like a retailer or a logistics organization that you work with, so that they know how much product you have, what orders need to go out, and even down to like financial documentation, like invoices, et cetera, as well. So it's, if you remember back in the day, almost like the ladies who would connect phone calls, right, in between one another. Way back old school. It's the technical way of doing that without a human person.
Awesome. So EDI, electronic data interchange, is really what the EDI stands for. And like you just explained that data interchange. So because we may have some listeners who just got on a call with Costco and are going to start supplying some plants, and Costco will say, well, you got to use your EDI portal. Whereas we have some listeners who send already 500 to 1,000 EDI orders a day. So that's the reach of our audience. So when it comes to that, it's really, like you said, orders, purchase orders, invoices, all of those documents to electronically communicate those back and forth. So they're not coming, and not even email. Email, of course, is doing it electronically as well. But this is taking the physical data inside of the invoice, inside of the order, and translating that from Costco's system to hopefully IQ Grower from Aster, of course, and yes, through Orderful. But that's really the flow of information that we're talking about in today's podcast.
Exactly that. And the fun thing about it is that just like all of us, even those who speak English, but we have different accents, et cetera, we all talk differently, right? And that's the same thing that we see on the EDI side, is everyone kind of builds these guidelines differently. And that's what makes it very difficult to do that exchange of data, because you have to create these guidelines to make that happen.
And to piggyback off of that, those guidelines in the EDI world, very much like most of the things that were developed in the 50s and 60s, every guideline got a number, like an 810 is an invoice, an 850 is an order, you know, an 87 or an 855 might be, or an 860 might be some kind of an advanced shipping notice. And, you know, I may not be getting all those numbers correct, but every guideline had a number. And like you mentioned, which is, thanks for bringing that up, like you mentioned, an 810 with Costco, an invoice with Costco, may be a different dialect than an 810 with Walmart, even though both of them are invoices, both of them have a structure, both of them have certain dollar amounts and descriptions, but they have slightly different flavors or dialects or accents.
Yes, exactly. That is correct. And that's what makes it difficult for companies, especially smaller companies who oftentimes don't have a technologist on site or in their staff to to set up those guidelines and those integrations so that that information is coming over successfully. And like you touched on, like someone like Home Depot might have something different than a Walmart. And often what happens is they're often sent over the same. And then someone like Home Depot who comes back and says, that was wrong. And a lot of our customers get these like chargebacks, right? So it's like, we kind of look at, the cost of doing business with some individuals or entities, right? And this is could be a negative cost that you end up consuming that you didn't see coming if you haven't made the right investments in your EDI technology.
And so why would I want to go EDI? Obviously, when we had just kind of explained the original definition of EDI and how it works, I'm sure some people right away pop in and say, oh, okay, it might automate things. I maybe don't have to do as much data entry, but there's more rationale and reasons for going with EDI. Maybe cover some of those for us.
Yeah. I think for an organization out there who might not have that many vendors or is like slowly adding these people on, for me, I always look at it as a scaling hurdle that you're eventually going to get into. I mean, most large retailers, organizations have this type of interaction or integration communication set up. And we all know in this day and age, if you land one of those customers or your sales reps, right, are out there working and are able to, secure Walmart as someone that you can sell to or Home Depot as someone you can sell to, you want to be able to say right away, yes, that's something we can do. So oftentimes we see customers come to us who've like already gotten that retailer and are now kind of like putting their foot in their mouth with that person or with that vendor because they can't actually connect with them through that technology. And also imagine someone like Walmart or someone large like that, they have to have this type of communication set up because email is just not going to cut it. And the reason that you see a lot of these larger companies still using EDI, because the good old API versus EDI conversation comes up often, especially with these larger entities. Well, EDI is very, very secure. It's very tough for hackers to get through and steal information, get into systems through an EDI interchange. So it's one of those things that's for these large entities or it's not hurting them. It's helpful for their organization. It's what they're built around. The bigger the entity is, the harder it is for them to change. So why it is a more archaic type of technology, it's not going anywhere. It's much like we still have the ability to call people or email people, even though some generations might prefer texting. Doesn't mean that we're eliminating the landline or that we're eliminating the ability to make phone calls. It's part of doing business. And so that's why I think it's super important for our customers. I think anyone who's doing any type of trade, because we're not only talking about who you're selling to, but also who you're buying from often has these type of integrations too. And it makes it easier as well for you to start automating your practices, right, in your company. And then on top of that, I think what we see a lot now from organizations as a whole is they want to start automating their workflows too. In order to automate things, in order to apply AI to any type of your business, you have to have the visibility of all of your data in front of you. The more data you can have, the easier it is to automate workflows. And a lot of times that visibility into your data isn't possible without a system like what we have here at Orderful that allows you to see all of your EDI transactions, what's going wrong, what's working, what's not working, and allows you to have this like instant real-time sense of how your business is performing. And for me, honestly, you brought up the financial side of it too, the sending of invoices. For me, let's be honest, it's about cash flow and knowing what's coming in and being able to fully show to your CFOs or your financial providers and say, this is what my business is doing. This is what we expect coming in. I mean, we talked about this prior, Will. Before I was at Orderful, I helped build a large logistics company. And in logistics in particular, and I'm sure in any type of industry where margins are slim, you need to know to the T what your numbers are, what your P&L looks like, what your receivables are going to look like as well, especially honestly in this economy, right? I want to know who's paying fast, who's paying slow, and you have to have that in real time. And that's what EDI allows companies to do, and have that visibility in front of them.
I just had to think of a couple of things. Wow, you while you were talking there, because you packed a lot in that paragraph or that little monologue there, which so I'm going to pull a few pieces out there. But
sure,
the part that made me smile the most, we talked about the 810, the invoice. And I remember we just finished taking a customer live and implementing EDI with Orderful. So some shameless plugs there for both of our companies. But
yeah.
It was kind of, we went through the 850, the 855, the 870, the 997. And then finally we started sending the 810s, and the owner mentioned, this is the only one that really matters. This is the one that where the rubber hits the road is when the 810s go, now I'm actually going to get some money back from those. So it was just, kind of cool to see the humor in that. It's like, you know, all those other ones are important, but once the invoice goes out, that's the money we're going to get paid. If it's accepted, that's the money we're going to get paid. And like you said, so let's back up a little bit. You mentioned five of the ones when I said why EDI, I kind of summarized that into five while you were talking there. One is probably the most basic one. You get to play with the big box stores. So if you're looking to enter that market, they work in EDI, and we'll dive into that in a sec on what levels you can play. Because I think for those of us who use EDI every day, there might be different definitions of, oh yeah, I'm using EDI, but are you really using EDI, or are you just using a portal that then interfaces with EDI? So the first one was play with the big box stores and a lot of those other chain stores and stuff that use EDI, which ties in with the second one you talked about was scaling. If you have any relevance or any desire to scale as an organization, EDI is going to allow you to do that. So you can handle one invoice or 1,000 invoices. The scaling of that is, there is no scaling because EDI takes care of it for you. It can send out 1,000 messages or one, and there's no higher overhead to the person using the software, basically. Probably one of the biggest ones, then you talk about security. It's sure, it was developed in the 50s and 60s. But it's still one of the most secure ways to transmit data. And I can attest to that from being on this side, having to deal with the Walmarts and the Costcos and the Home Depots and the Menards and you name it. There's dozens and dozens of them. The amount of testing and protocols and authentication that has to happen to get these streams set up from one to the other is astronomical, but the reward is security. Mm-hmm. Automation, it's another big one you mentioned, is the ability to just automate. And when you approve the invoice, it's gone. It's sent, it's automated, and which ties right in with the fifth one that you mentioned, is that financial real-time stability, if you will, where you know that the 810 went out, it was acknowledged and received. The check for that 810 or the wire transfer for that invoice is coming back at that amount. So you know that if there's no late returns or stuff, the 810 is already communicated as a valid invoice to pay. So, those are kind of the five things that you highlighted. So I just wanted to summarize those for our audience, if in that big set of reasons there.
Well, and all of those, I hope the audience kind of, I'm sure as business leaders, thinks through those, right? Like the trickle effects that all has. I mean, to talk about the financial side of things, right? I mean, for our business, if those numbers aren't correct or that data flowing back and forth isn't correct, you could potentially be holding customers at credit lines that are inaccurate, right? You could, which slows down your sales reps, which makes unhappy employees because they can't reach their certain sales goals. So I've always loved technology that does help in the back office, maybe where certain individuals might think is a little bit more boring in a sense. I completely disagree because it's kind of the engine of it all, right? You don't see the engine, but boy, if it breaks, those wheels aren't moving. That car could be as flashy as it wants, but if it's not on the road, you can't brag about it. So I love this type of like back office type of technology that's kind of behind the scenes, because what we talk about and what we always kind of point to here at Orderful, or kind of use as like a metaphor, is it's much like your pipes in your house, right? Like on a daily basis, you're not thinking about your pipes, but boy, when that thing breaks or winter comes here, I'm in Michigan, right, and it freezes and something goes wrong, like it's detrimental to everything in your life. And that's exactly how you should look at EDI within your business as well.
And I love the fact both of those analogies. One is it's you specifically used a word that really resonates with me. It's boring. And I think that there's a ton of excitement in that boring. And part of I get to play on the development side of our software. And I think often my job is to get excited about making it boring, because that's what it should be. It should just be so second nature and so autopilot mode, almost like they talk in psychology about your brain going into autopilot mode. We strive for that both in your EDI world, but also in is that those systems and processes, those streams and flows should just be boring. They should just work. And that's really true for EDI. As much work and lift it is to get it out of the gate, and I know Orderful has really done a lot of work in that area, so we can chat about that in a minute, but as much work and effort it is to get EDI off the ground, once it's there, the goal is set it and forget it, very much like your pipes. You're only gonna so you want the pipes to be solid, and you want to make sure that you should just set it and forget it and not have to worry about them every day. And that's very much how EDI should be as well. So there is a big lift at the beginning, and then it kind of gets boring after that.
And I love how you say it, like it's the fun and the boring aspect, right? And that's really what we've done here at Orderful. We've said, okay, let's create the structure for the boring, right? Let's get that out of the way. And so when I say that we leverage APIs to make EDI work, now you can connect with us through this API format, and then we do all the EDI talking. We take care of the boring. Is that going to be our new slogan? But we take care of the boring, right? So that
I'll
you
charge you a commission.
Yeah, exactly. But so that way you can focus on the more on modern technology that can be powered by this boring, archaic technology that we've been able to bring up to a more modern standard.
Of course, a brander like yourself would come up with and say, boring is okay. Let's market that as being boring.
Exactly. That's why I love it. I was in journalism before this, and I said, yeah, like I think people were surprised that this is the direction I went with in the technology field, but it's boring, but it's so essential, and that's what makes it fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. And along those lines is you mentioned a couple things that you're doing there. While you mentioned that you've used the term API, and I'm just going to define that for a minute. API standing for application programmer interface, which that's the official name of API. But what you mean, I just want to make sure we're on the same page, is that there's an interface with your software, with any software, really. It's almost the first thing we always do when we look for partners, saying, do you have an API? And an API really means is, do you have a way that I can create a structure to communicate with your software so a human being doesn't have to do it? And that's exactly that. Rather than communicating with archaic EDI, Orderful and has developed an API which allows us to just have our program talk to your program, and then EDI just flows through that channel or that tunnel, if you will.
I kind of explain it like EDI is almost like how you speak a language, right? The guidelines to that, where API is almost more of like a walkie-talkie. It allows for instant communication back and forth that everyone is agreed upon. And so if there's some type of translation that you can do ahead of time, almost like if you ever use Google Translate or something to speak to someone who's from a different country, that's how an API works in all of this.
And it really allows you, as your company, and us as our company, to develop a standard interface. So if someone says, hey, do you interface with QuickBooks, or do you interface with Sage, or this or that? And I'll just use another vendor just to highlight it. We can say, yeah, we do. As long as they have an API and we have an API, then we can talk. And there's even programs out there that we use, such as Boomi, for example, that's or I think Salesforce has one called MuleSoft as well. Those are programs that kind of like to sit in the gap of API and then connect to the two sides and say, oh, I can speak that API and I can speak this, and I just do a translation layer in between. And that has really become very, very popular and vogue the last, you know, 8 to 10 years. APIs have been around longer, but that translation piece in between is really, because even in full transparency, we use such a translation layer between ourselves and IQ and Orderful, for example.
Yes. Yeah. That does need to be there. And it's, I'm sure for the audience, you're probably like starting to understand, right, the setup and the work that goes behind the scenes to make those happen. And that's why I did start off by saying, I think a lot of times that, especially in the logistics side of things as well, we hear from people almost when it's too late, because it sounds simple, right? And the outside, it almost sounds like a lot of times when you talk to these vendors, like it'll be a quick switch on. And honestly, a lot of the more legacy providers of this type of technology take a long time to get that set up, because there's a lot of communication needs to go through to make sure those guidelines are set and that everything is talking appropriately. So that's why we pride ourselves here at Orderful, because we understand that's like the actual problem. The problem is that time that goes in between building these things, right? One, yes, you got to make it secure. You have to make sure it works, then it's talking to each other. And that's definitely possible. I don't want to say easy to do, but that's possible to do. But a lot, what we do over here at Orderful is we use AI and we use different type of technology, and we built these relationships with people, even like yourself, right? So that we can cut down on that communication and deliver that connection faster than anyone that you've worked with before. And so it's a layer of almost like technology, right? In terms of like what you're building, but it's also a layer of like, almost understanding the nuance of how the EDI systems work and saying, okay, yes, we fixed the technology, but how are we fixing communication to building the integrations, and how do we get that shorter as well?
And, you know, in our pre-chat, it kind of resonates with something I just read this morning, actually, ironically enough, is in our pre-chat last week, we talked, and we even went, why are we still using this archaic technology that was built around the same time, for any techie geeks out there, as COBOL and Fortran, which are ancient languages that I don't even know if there's still active COBOL programmers that aren't well past retirement age that are still functioning. I have to shamelessly admit that I did program in COBOL at one point in time in my career, but that was a long, long time ago. But those programming languages are long gone. EDI was developed at the same time and is not long gone. And this morning, I read just a little LinkedIn post on someone who brought something forward about what Jeff Bezos said when he started Amazon, is don't be so quick to always focus on where you're headed and what's the new fanciest thing out there. Focus on the things that will always be true. And that really struck a nerve with me. I'm like, absolutely. Even for our conversation today, is one thing will always be true, and that is, customers are going to want to or need to buy products, and vendors are going to sell products, and we need to somehow or other tell them what they owe, and we need to transfer that money. So there's so many pieces that are true, and EDI solves those things that will always be true. Yeah. So let's not be too quick to say, well, it's archaic, so let's get rid of it. No, it's solving what is always going to be true, and that's why it's standing the test of time.
Well, and to actually back that up even more, to bring Amazon into the conversation, to bring Walmart Plus into the conversation too, and if you read any of these like 10Ks or have the stock of these companies and kind of keep up what they're focused on, it's all today's e-commerce world, right, is all about these marketplaces. And I'm sure even in horticulture as well, I'm sure these companies are starting to see this, right? It's like Walmart wants you to be able to purchase things online, not have it physically in their store. And in order to pull that off, that means they need to be able to connect their systems or marketplace with more and more vendors every single day. So I almost even want to long-term bet even deeper into EDI, because many of these large retailers and these large organizations are starting to understand, okay, I need to have more options on my shelf, whether that's like their actual shelf or their like physical
shelf,
marketplace. And in order to do that, I have to connect with so many different people, and I need that up and running at all times. And this is where Amazon, right, kind of has pushed the other retailers in this space. And when my customer says, I want that, I better have it, right? So they want to know what's available right now at every single instance of the day. And that's why this technology is so important, because you can't do that at all without being able to connect systems and integrate systems through EDI.
Absolutely. And the ability to... one key part of automation, and I have a previous podcast where I speak about an expert in automation, specifically in the horticulture industry. One of the key components to automation is standardization. In order to automate, you have to standardize. That's almost a precursor to automation. And what's the most standardized format we know of is EDI.
Yep, exactly.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yep. I was just going to say, the one thing I was going to add, and it's standard and it's held strong, and I highly doubt it's going to go anywhere anytime soon. That's why we focused on it, and that's why we made these long bets here at Orderful.
But again, you've already augmented some of that with going down the route, yes, saying we're not just EDI. And I think that's important for customers to know, not that I'm doing an infomercial for Orderful here, but just when you're going to choose an EDI solution, which is what we've done at Aster as well, is when you choose an EDI solution, make sure it's one that is future-proof, because the EDI itself, you know, even though it's been around for 80 years, or 70 to 80 years, even if EDI goes, the thing that's always true is you need to get your invoices to your vendor. You need to tell them that they're going to pay you. So if you're choosing that solution that is, like you said, has an API that can speak to EDI, so even if the EDI functionality becomes something new, you know, some people have said, what about XML? Well, XML has been around for 25, 30 years and hasn't replaced EDI yet. So clearly there's still reasons why we're hanging on to it. Be both future-proof and time-tested and proven.
Definitely. Why not focus on that? If it, like I said, that's why I started off by touching on the scaling aspect, because I think it's something you want to think about today, because that hurdle will come in the future. Are you prepared for that when that conversation comes up?
Yeah. So where does EDI, like, I loved how you mentioned earlier, I'm going to backtrack again, because you're just packing so much into every sentence. So forgive me for doing that.
Oh, good.
I love that you said the trickle down effect. And I think you use the piece. I can't remember the exact example you used around the trickle down effect, but one of the ones that really, I think, means a lot for anybody who has talked to or worked with a big box is the whole concept of stickers and UPCs and all that stuff. I know that, and I don't know how much you interface with that, but we definitely do on the horticulture ERP side, is if you get a sticker wrong in a big box store, there's penalties. And these penalties are astronomical sometimes. So how does something like EDI possibly help that out?
Well, that we've created label makers, et cetera, technology within Orderful too. And you're 100% right, because that does have a trickle down. And the reason why I think our Orderful is kind of own that we need to provide that support is because, yes, that data, one, is something that we're already touching and grabbing on, right? So if we have already that information, why aren't we adding almost the cherry on top of the sundae and making sure that our customers can be fulfilled in that section too? But I mean, you touched on it perfectly. The fact that you'll get these chargebacks, you'll get these denials, and that stuff means a lot to these vendors and these larger organizations, these retailers. Like they do not have the time to check you on the accuracy of those. And that's often why you see chargebacks for some of those issues too. And I can't tell you how many times I've been a part of leadership organizations where I've had accounting come to me, or I've had people come to me and say, listen, like, your guys' service, your product is great, right? Like, our customers love purchasing it. For those in horticulture, right? Horticulture, I like, think of all the work that you've put in into growing and producing something so miraculous, right? Like, from the ground, and to be denied business because of something as simple as those labels is detrimental to everything that you've done. So I think it's almost as if, like, when we talk about the trickle down aspect, right? Like, you don't want to be punished for something as simple as a system like Waterfall can help you fix, or an EDI provider can help you fix, when you're putting all this work into the back end. Again, too, it's like, when you run your business, you look at margins, and you don't want to be eating a cost just because of what you're not able to do for your customer, or even between vendors, right? And that's, I think that's interesting. We've seen on, like, the logistics side, just that's more of my background. It's like, customers have literally said, listen, we're not going to be able to give you any more shipments if this doesn't get fixed, right? And I'm sure that's what you're seeing even with those labels too. So look at it like your reputation as a company. Like, how are you performing? To kind of, like, maybe dumb it down a little, or take it back to school. It's like, you know, how are you presenting yourself in a meeting? That's how all of this is looked at the end of the day, because of how behind the scenes the technology all is interacting, right? So I look at it as almost like why Orderful is focused on making those label makers. And we actually, like, for all those out there, that's free on our site now. Like, go check it out. It's actually an offering we just finished and produced a couple of months ago. That's why it is so important for us, because we understand how it all links into the EDI of it all, and how it showcases how you do business to your vendors and your customers as well.
Yeah, and I guess it ties in exactly. I know that's a really big point, especially in the horticulture industry.
Yeah.
I guess any industry, but working in the horticulture industry, I know many customers out there that we work with, or many potential customers, leads, a lot of them are still using a spreadsheet where they have Walmart SKU for a certain sticker or UPC, and they're then going to the label maker and punching that in manually. And if you enter take one wrong letter or number in there, that could be a $50,000 to $100,000 fine, if not more. Or you could be denied product. So, and that's where, again, go back to, let's try to make it boring. So on the same token, we have tables where you say, oh, I got this product going to Walmart. This is their UPC. It sends it across the EDI pipes, if you will. And it just becomes boring, rather than having three people double checking to make sure that a UPC is actually the one that it should have been typed in as.
Yeah. And I look at it like, I almost look at it like Stripe, or even like online banking, right? Like, think of the technologies that you use in your everyday life and how, like, simple those are, and how, for instance, like, when you're doing online banking, or if you're using like a Venmo or something like that, right? Oftentimes you'll go in there, it'll say like, hey, what's your bank? And you'll choose your bank, and it's done all the work behind the scenes with your bank to make sure that you could get a Venmo account set up instantly. And that's really the same thing we're talking about here, is that aspect. I think just even the user interface and bringing the technology that we use in our everyday lives that we, at this point, like, assume everyone has, that we're not seeing in this space, and bringing that up to standard. And that's, if you go see our label maker now, like, you just type in the Home Depot, Lowe's, you type in the actual retailer's name, and it pops up, and you just click a button. We've done all the work behind the scenes. And honestly, I think all technology should be getting to that almost like pre-written guideline work. And then for a business, like, for us, it's democratizing the ability to do business with whoever you want, so that a small horticulture type of customer, which, let's be honest, I mean, I've worked with these type of companies. A lot of times it's family, generations of family, maybe less than 10 people there, very limited technology or computer work or knowledge, right? That doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to do business. So again, we want to create those guidelines so that the American dream can kind of happen, right, in these spaces, and that you can compete with the large farmer down the street just as easily because of that setup.
And that's a perfect segue into one of the other outstanding pieces is that I wanted to bring into the conversation is, so I'm a small, whatever size I am. I may be large, but I only have 5 or 10 people in the office. I don't have EDI, and maybe not specifically only to Oracle, but just the EDI concept. Because yes. I think absolutely, you know, we don't need to mention there are other vendors out there, but I know Oracle has really made it intentionally about let's automate this. Let's make it as simple as possible. And I think your slogan's even, you know, get up in days rather than
9
months,
days. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And I get that because I've worked in getting EDI set up and stuff. So if I'm said greenhouse grower who has maybe 2 of us, but I want to now start producing a product, like you said, democratizing. So Walmart wants to show this product, wants to sell this product. And they say, oh, you need to have EDI. Does that mean I need to, what does EDI mean? When we talk about EDI as an ERP system, we truly mean that the system generates. So someone places an order possibly in Walmart on an e-commerce system. It produces demand on Walmart side, which then automatically flows as an 850, a purchase order, an order, if you will, into our system. And it's sitting there waiting to fulfill as an order with no human interaction whatsoever. That is a pure dream state of EDI. But there's other lesser forms of automation that maybe I'd love to touch on just to not, I don't know, scare, make people afraid that, wow, do I really need that level of automation? I'm still using Sage, which, you know, we as Astro will want to talk to you about that, or I'm still using QuickBooks. But how do you, where can you start if you just want to deal with a Walmart and they say you need EDI or Costco? Do I have to be fully automated or where can it start?
I don't think you technically have to be fully automated, but what I guess what how I look at that situation is if they, you know, want to say, hey, that EDI integration needs to be built. First, you have to kind of look at, right, what assets you have available to you, right? Now, there are going to be organizations that have tech leaders and at their disposal that work in-house, right? I think even this audience is probably less of that and more of a state that I've definitely been in my past, which is, I have an office full of really great sales reps and accounting people and finance people and a couple of interns that know how to use a Tableau or a reporting system, right? So you say to yourself, okay, how do I continue on this tech journey without having those people in-house or having to invest in those? And that's why I think people start looking at companies like Orderful or others out there, legacy players out there too, and a number that are, you know, publicly traded, you could look up as well, that will do that work for you, right? And a lot of times it's this order management, but you also should be looking at inventory updates, which I think are huge, shipping and logistics updates, how you're talking to your logistics providers in general. I can tell you this from a logistics standpoint, you're going to get a better service out of your logistics provider if you are trading your data through an EDI, because they're going to know right away when orders are ready. They're going to be able to find trucks in, or if we're looking at air freight, et cetera, whatever your mode of transportation is, trains, they're going to be able to find those in real time and bring cost savings to you. So that's something you have to consider as well. Compliance, of course, and retailer requirements we've talked about, being able to do those unique forms of those labels as well. So I think for someone who's like sitting there today and is like, hey, what's our journey look like? I would start calling these providers and, one, talking to their customers or anyone they're working with about just how their technology works and what they need from you, but two, also really ask about their customer support, because EDI does break and breaks often, and that's why it's so important to look at a more modern type of EDI provider, because we kind of, best way to explain is we plan for those breaks and we fix those breaks for you. But you're going to want to, it's not something you're going to want to have like in-house for, I think, most of the people watching this podcast. It's something you're going to want to outsource or some way, someone you're going to want to talk to Will here about getting that done, compared to trying to like hack it yourself in house. It's going to be easier, and you're going to be, Will is going to set you up right for a better future in these other areas. Right. Cause I think you're right. I think a lot of times it's kind of those order management or inventory updates that often people are looking to work with like these retailers, but soon you're going to realize the possibilities it leads to in automating the shipping and the financial side of things too. And at the end of the day, compliance. And I think compliance, right, for retailers is pretty defined right now, but there's, as cyber issues to become a problem, there's going to be the compliance, I think, more of cybersecurity too. So I guess if I had to give any advice to your audience, as much as you want to try to like hack this yourself, like in-house, just to maybe save a few dollars, I've done that journey. It's a headache. You're not going to win. And you're going to want to talk to consultants or leaders in this space, not only to make sure that you get that ROI in the best fashion, but because they're going to allow you to kind of like scale that out in other areas of your company that you probably aren't seeing today, if that makes sense. Does that help?
And so two things that I really want to pick up on there that I think are important. One is, that I'm confident are important. There may be more. That's why I use the word think. But two for sure. One is, let's go back to your analogy of the pipes in your house.
Yeah.
Everybody that I know of that owns a house or lives in a house knows that they probably should know or be aware of a plumber that responds to their telephone calls.
Exactly.
So, as much as you got a great builder that built your house beautifully, everybody knows that, you know, a tap is going to start dripping, a pipe is going to break somewhere at some point in your life. So yeah. Let's not be sold by those builders who claim that there never will be a pipe broken, because it's simply not true. And also, let's not go into that false sense of security that we have perfect pipes in our house. It's just simply not possible, because everything breaks down, as does EDI at times. So I actually recall that conversation with one of our integration specialists who was talking to a sales team who said, I just want to make sure this is the easiest, that EDI is the easiest thing ever. And the integration specialist said, be careful that you don't sell it as that it's 100% all cherries and cream and perfect, because there are times where you need to fix it. So you also need to sell the concept that we are your best partner, because when it breaks, it's not the partner's fault. That's just the technology, like anything, any other technology. You buy a $200,000 Porsche or whatever, it's also going to break. So you just want to make sure that when that happens, you have the best team on your side to be able to work with those. And that really resonated with me. And I've heard you say it again today as well. That's a huge piece.
Yeah. I think, because there is a, because we talked about kind of the manual process, right, at the beginning. So I don't want to confuse the audience at all with that. But there is like this, there is a human aspect to all of this as well, right? The technology, like you said, the pipes will burst. And so you want to bring someone in that you can trust, who, if anything, too, is going to tell you what to avoid or what to clean up so that pipe doesn't burst. But someone who's going to like sit with you and not say, okay, I got to put pipes in this house, but what are your business goals? Like, what do you, I think we talked about this too last week. Like, if you're buying a home today, you know, do you plan on adding another story? Do you want to add, you know, another wing to your house? Well, is your piping set up to do that? Right. And so while EDI is a problem or something that you might need today to trade with someone or get it done, there is also that like level of what does your business want to do tomorrow? And that's where the human element comes in. And that's honestly, and I say this because yes, this is something Orderful does, but there's others out there too, I'm sure, that focus on this. We do focus on that aspect. We're not ignorant to that existing. So we use AI and a number of different more modern technologies behind the scene in our customer service area too, to make sure that we're not only delivering a good product, but that we're delivering a good service as well. And we're communicating where we are in the integration process. And that's where we can stand on our toes and say, we're bringing it down to 9 days because of the human element that we've also addressed as well.
Absolutely. And then to segue off the human element and also the piece where we said where does someone start? So I love how you focused on, team up with someone. Don't try to go at it alone. There is, it's kind of like when you're installing the pipes, maybe get an expert plumber already involved. So they're both there to help you set it up for scalability for all of those pieces, but also there to be there and sit and pick up the phone when something does go wrong in the event that that happens. So, and then one piece I also just wanted to bring into the room as well is we talked about this end-to-end automation. I know that's our goal collectively, you and I. We love that boring. We love that automation where you just set it and forget it. However, I like to sometimes point out as well is that there is a way to ease into this. And an example of this would be if you have a Costco or somebody who wants to use EDI, most companies, and I assume Orderful included, will often have a portal that you can log into and say, oh, Walmart sent me an EDI order, and you can download this order and manually enter it into your system. We at Aster, of course, are an order management ERP system more than order management, but let's focus on that piece. So we have the ability to pipe that right in, but you don't have to start there. You can start by taking it off of an Orderful portal, for example, where you log in, you're like, oh, there's a new order from Walmart. You can have a person take that order and manually key it into your ERP system, and vice versa, manually send out an 810 from this said portal. So it doesn't have to be instantly, end-to-end piping. It can still have human elements in between and allow you to kind of, dip your toes in an easier way in rather than, suddenly being a fully automated system.
Yes, yeah. And actually that's a big reason I was just talking to a very a big company, fast growing brand the other day, who said to me the one thing that they do love is that we haven't created this like black or we've eliminated this black box, right? Because there is there are going to be instances where you want to do just that. You want to kind of see what's behind the scenes, how the technology is working. It's often like, sometimes you might see or you're downloading something and it's buffering and you're just like, why is this taking forever? We've created a system that allows you to see why this is taking forever or what is working and see those interactions behind the scene so that you can, have that human element as well. But even at the same time though, I think to be able to automate processes, you touched on this and I'm big on this as well, because I think a lot of times when people say I want to automate something, they're asking automation to like fix a problem, where I think you and I will, we both know that no, automation is for a process that you've solved. And then
Standardized,
yeah, right. And then making that go away and it become just second nature to a business, right? And so then you can now focus on the problems that you haven't solved. And so that's what you need to be able to eliminate that black box, to have a complete understanding, to know that your automation is working appropriately, so you can push that back in your mind, right? So that you can, not have that stressing you out and not having it there. And just like all of us as well, I think we're just all human brains curious of what's doing that back there. So again, we've been very intentional in making sure that there is no black box, because we understand that that is an element of EDI interaction that needs to be there to, I think, have people feel more secure in what's happening, behind the scenes and know, okay, like we can trust that these automations and these workflows are happening.
Yeah. And that's fantastic. And I think that summarizes a lot of what we have been talking about. And at the same time is, so you and I just met, just a shameless plug here. I know you work for, if I work for Aster, we're in the software space. It's ironic and maybe not ironic, it's uncanny actually, I should say, how much our processes and our systems are lined up. So we are partners on the software side of things. This podcast is here to help bring the industry to a more automated, better place and help people guide their way through all of these things. So I just loved how our philosophies are so similar, even though I don't think necessarily that philosophy was something that was there during the partnership fusing piece. It was more, hey, your functionality does that. We love it. Ours does this. We love it. And it works. And now I'm starting to see how our philosophies actually are so much the same. So sorry, I had to go a little psychological. That's part of my background.
I love it.
Loved seeing that come alive. So
same. Well, and I know I think we've all been, the both of us have been in the business situation where these situations come up and we realize I was telling Will last week, some of my biggest customers in the logistics industry were, I was a big Christmas tree girl. I moved a lot of Christmas trees around the US, right? So I think your audience I connect with because I understand the work that those individuals are doing to dig out plans to raise these, raise whatever product that you're putting your time into, the workflows that you've put in that I will never like be able to, or Orderful will be able to handle, right? Like that, what you've done as a horticulture business is, I mean, truly miraculous to, in terms of like a green thumb and growing something right out of the ground, et cetera. And also how easily that product could die and your business is really at like, almost like God's will, right? So how can we as technology providers do everything that we can to take the guessing game out of, I think, the horticulture side of things so that you can just focus on making really great product? The rest should just be easy, the democratization of it. And boring, yes. Yes, and hopefully they finish this, that they say, you know what, this wasn't boring and this is actually a lot of fun.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I know, that's kind of, there's so much more we could talk about, but I think that the purpose of today's episode was really just to ease our way into EDI. What is it? How does it work? And of course, we've done a few shameless plugs along the way, but but our goal was to level up and educate and help out and say, where do I start? What does it mean? What's going on in the background? And I think we've covered most of those areas and I'd love to kind of close it out there and I definitely maybe see a podcast in the future where we can dive into a few more of those pieces unless you have anything else you wanted to share here today yet. But
no, I would just say reach out to Will if you're looking to learn more about Orderful. You can check out our site as well and our label makers too. If you go to orderful.com, just go under products, you'll see that all there. We're gonna have some really great updates coming soon too and some new products coming out in the next couple of weeks, so that maybe that's what we can dive into in our next chat too. But happy to make, I just love making it easier for businesses to do business. That's the American dream, and that's what you and I are here to help people do.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining me today. And I know you got another talk that you need to get on to quickly here. So that was a great hour well spent. And we're looking forward to more conversations.
Thank you, Will. And thank you to your audience as well.
Thank you.